Orange juice nowadays is getting the big squeeze.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Orange juice is trading at near record levels this morning. That's after some troubling news about Brazilian oranges. Now, it'll take a while for that Brazilian news to sour prices here in the U.S., but what's happening with orange juice is a perfect example of what's happening in the global commodities market. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us now to explain. Hey, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So explain to me, what's going on with the orange juice market in the first place?
Well, one trader is calling it the perfect storm. The weather in Florida, where most juice oranges are grown, has been really cold, close to freezing. And when that happens, many juice makers turn to imports from Brazil. But there's a problem there. The Food and Drug Administration has found traces of a fungicide that's used to combat mold. And there are rumors that the government might ban Brazilian imports and pull the existing imported juices from grocery shelves.
All right. So, John, why is orange juice so sensitive to these influences like weather and disease?
Well, it's a delicate fruit. California and Florida have the climate for it here. Brazil has the same climate in the southern hemisphere. And like many commodities, the price closely follows supply. But Kevin Kerr, an orange trader at Kerr International, a senior analyst at Money and Markets, says at some point, consumers push back against the cost.
There's an old saying, commodities trading, the cure for high prices is high prices. So, of course, if we see prices get too high, people are going to switch to alternatives. Orange juice is not a required staple for people to live. So they will turn to other things, and that will bring down prices eventually.
He says that when customers start drinking tomato juice instead, the cost of orange juice eventually will come back down.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now, under 0.5%. The Dow down 45 points, about 0.3% at 12,403. And the NASDAQ, S&P, each down as well. More people got in line for first-time unemployment checks last week. The government said this morning weekly jobless claims rose to 399,000, up more than 20,000 just in the past week. Also got word that retail sales rose at the weakest pace in more than half a year, just 0.1%. Now to Haiti, where 2 years ago to the day, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake killed an estimated 200,000 people or more and left more than $7 billion in damage. Aid from around the world has been pouring in ever since, billions of dollars worth of aid. And reporter Alex Goldmark tells us from the capital, Port-au-Prince, about how some of that money is being spent.
The quake left 1.5 million people desperate for shelter, water, and health care. Charities and foreign governments promised some $6 billion for Haiti's recovery. Just a bit over half that's been spent. Jean Roca is with a UN project that scoops up the rubble of destroyed houses and recycles it into reusable brick. He says the job is about half done.
It is not yet finished, but he's not only arriving, demolishing, and going. He's understanding, making sure people accept us.
And getting 46 different agencies, the local government, and even local gangs to work together. And that's just for rubble. Mary Kate McIsaac is with the charity World Vision. It's trying to rebuild the 60% of Haiti's schools that were lost.
It's been difficult and it's a struggle. It continues to be a struggle for 500,000 people living in camps.
She says in Haiti, you can start to talk about progress now, but not success. In Port-au-Prince, Haiti, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
Time once again for Attitude Check as we take America's temperature.
And the latest poll number suggests margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said...
This morning, we found out President Obama and the Democratic Party raised $68 million toward the president's re-election in the last 3 months of 2011. And while presidential campaigns are upbeat about their finances, we check in today about how Americans are feeling about theirs. And Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at the polling firm Gallup. Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
You know, as Americans go to the polls, the question I think is being asked these days is, do people feel better today more than they did 4 years ago? How do they feel about that? What about the standard of living question?
You know, that's a great question, and that's going to change as the year goes on because the bottom fell out as 2008 went on. But at the beginning of the year, back in January of 2008, Americans were still fairly positive about their standard of living. And if you just look at where we are today, we are back to exactly that point. So you would say today we are where we were in January. But boy, by October of 2008, we only had 40% of Americans who said their standard of living was getting better, and it even went down to 32%. So as the year progresses, the comparisons are going to look better and better now, because we have finally climbed back up to the point where we were when we started out.
I want to talk a little bit about the standard of living or quality of life issues. What do we include in sort of those issues and in those categories?
Yeah, you know, the question, of course, just says standard of living. So we'll let Americans kind of evaluate that as they would. But we know from a lot of different research that Americans do take into account health care, their overall income and their family life and things along those lines. And Americans, generally speaking, now in particular, are fairly positive about how those things are going.
I know, Frank, they also talk about gas prices when they mention standard of living. And you know, there's a lot of instability going on in the Arab world right now, especially with tensions between the U.S. and Iran. How's that going at the moment?
We just got through asking Americans what's the most important problem facing the country. That's where we typically would see it. Only 1% told us that the big problem was oil and gas prices. And of course, that's been much higher historically. So far, we're not seeing that Americans are concerned about the price of gas. We'll monitor it, but it's not crept into the consciousness of the average Jane and John Doe yet out there across the country.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief over at Gallup. Frank, thanks.
You bet.
And finally this morning, a couple of big oops moments for a Lafayette, Louisiana man who's charged with sticking up a convenience store. The man allegedly walked into the shop, grabbed a drink out of the cooler, pulled out a gun, and demanded money. But when he went to drive away, oops, the thief realized he locked his keys in the getaway car, which then leads us to another oops moment. Police picked him up in a parking lot while waiting for the spare key from his mother. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They've got cell phones and iPods and Facebook and everything. It's tough to get a teenager's attention. Now imagine how television advertisers feel.
I always have my TV on in the background, but when it's not entertaining enough, I get on YouTube.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the future of TV, the Know Your Audience edition, next time on Marketplace. Also, the day's business news. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.